Gospel of John, chapter number 4, in verse number 34, Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Let's pray. Dear Father, we're thankful, Father, that we can be in your house today. What a great God you are. I'm thankful, Father, for the hope that we have in Christ. I'm thankful for your blessings. I'm thankful, God, for the fact that you love us and that you've done so much for us. You are a great and mighty, powerful, wonderful God. And now we ask you, Father, that you would be pleased, dear Holy Spirit, that we might not quench you today, that we might not grieve you today, but God, that today, through the preaching of your word, your will might be made known to us and that we might be obedient servants, Lord, rejoicing in doing the will of their master. And we ask you these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In this portion of Scripture, Jesus was dealing with the woman at the well. And he told her everything she ever did. And whenever he pinned her down on this whole thing, he asked her, "Where go get your husband?" And she said, "I don't have one." And he said, "You're talking right and you speak right. You've had six, and the guy you're living with now is not your husband." Man, she was ashamed then, wasn't she? Because, I mean, Jesus just went right to the heart of it and said, "Hey, that's right, because he's not your husband, the guy you're living with now." You know, that's the way God works. He gives us his word, and the Holy Spirit of God, he knows everything already that's wrong in our lives. All right, that's why I don't have to make a list when I'm preaching of everything in the world that's wrong, because I know that God is already going to deal with your heart today about the thing that you need to deal with the most. And that's the way he is today. That's the way God always worked. He's always worked that way. And he told that woman, he told her that, and the most tremendous thing happened is that when all that was done and said, and whenever she realized that he was the Messiah, the Bible says she left her water pot because she came out to get water. That water pot was important. You know, I mean, you got to have something to carry your water in, right? You go out to the well and you dump the water in the pot. If you don't have a pot, you ain't carrying your water anywhere. You can't steal the bucket out of the well. So she left her water pot and she ran into the city. That's a whole message in itself. I'm not preaching that one today. I got to tell myself that so I don't preach it. But she ran into the city and she said, "Come, see a man who told me everything I have ever done." Now think about that for a minute. All he said to her was, "You're right, you had six husbands. The guy you're living with now is not your husband." That's all he said. But when he spoke, in her heart, the Holy Spirit of God revealed to her everything she knew. All the sin she'd ever done. And she got free from that sin. So no wonder she left the water. I'm getting away from the water pot. But anyway, so here Jesus is. The disciples have gone away specifically, now think about it, specifically for the purpose of getting him something to eat. You ever done that? Gone someplace, thought, "Man, well, this person's going to need something, I'm going to stop and get them something to eat." And you get there and they've already eaten. Well, this is what the disciples say. They're sitting there, Jesus is sitting there, and they come up and he said to him, Master, eat. But he said to them, "I have meat to eat that you know not of." Therefore said the disciples one to another, "Have any man brought him aught to eat?" So we went to all this trouble for nothing. We went into town. We got something to eat. We thought about what Jesus might like. And we got it. We purchased it. We carried it over here. And he's already eaten. Somebody gave him something to eat. And he said this. He made this comment. He said, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me." And this morning, I'd like for us to think together about God's will. I want you to think this morning about nothing else but God's will. I don't want you to think about, "I wonder how long I'm going to preach today." But it's not going to be very long. I don't want you to think about what you're going to do this afternoon. I want you this morning to think about God's will for your life. And I want us to ask ourselves three questions this morning that go along with what Jesus said. First of all, ask ourselves this question. Is God's will my meat? Is God's will my meat? Is that what I feast on every day? Every day, do I get up and do I eat of the will of God? Do I know? Do I search? Do I find? Am I living in accordance to what I know the will of God in my life is? Do I do that? Is God's will my meat? He said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. God has a point for every life, every individual in this room, every individual who ever hears this message. God has a purpose, a will for your life. Are you doing it? Is it your meat? Is it what you feast on every day? You know, I love remembering the day that Jesus saved me. I love that. Praise God for the day when I was born again. That excites me. He was, I get tired of hearing about that old Marine Corps. I don't care. I love it. You may not like hearing about my wedding day, but I sure love it. I love the day I married my wife. Precious day. I love the day God called me to preach. I love that. I love preaching the Word of God. I love it when God told me to go out and to try to win people to Christ. I love doing that. Because I know that I'm doing the will of God. It's God's will that lost people be saved. God calls you, leads you, starts burning your heart about something. It's His will that you fulfill it. It's His will that you be a soul winner and that you love His Word. It's God's will. Is it your meat? Is it what you feast on every day? Let me give you some other examples that other people have decided to feast on instead of God's will. In the book of Psalms, chapter 42, verse 3. He says, my tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say to me, where is thy God? Are tears your meat? Is that what you sit around every day doing? Crying and bemoaning and grinding and bellyaching because things just aren't the way you want them to be. And oh God, I suffer so. Look at the cross before you say that. Before you and I start talking about how much we suffer, we need to look at what Jesus went through for our sin. Before we start counting the wrongs that we've been done, we need to look at the wrong that was done to the holy, sinless Son of God on our behalf. Tears are my meat. And if you read that psalm, he finally realizes, hey, bless the Lord, O my soul. He said, you need to get right in your heart. That's what he says to himself. He says, you need to rejoice in God. Stop sitting around and letting tears be your meat. Let me tell you something. There's not a person in this world who doesn't feel like they're suffering the lack of something. Even rich people feel like they suffer the lack of stuff. Because that's not what's going to fulfill you. It's doing the will of God. Is that your meat? Or are you filled with tears? Here's something else they fill their belly with. He says in the book of Psalm 69:21, they gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me a vinegar to drink. This is a reference to Christ on the cross. When he's hanging on the cross, they gave him that gall to drink, the vinegar to drink. But you know, there's some people, Christ tasted that for you and me. So that we wouldn't have to have gall and bitterness in our lives. There's some people, they just feed on all the wrong they've been done. They just feed on that stuff. They feed on how everybody's offended them, hurt. Hey, Jesus took my place when I've offended him. He paid the payment for me. Are you stuffing your gullet with all those regrets? Or are you feasting on the meat of the will of God in your life? What is it that you feed on? Here's another one. Look in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 16. Go ahead and turn to Ezekiel, chapter number 16. Let me tell you something, folks. God has done so much for us. So much He's done for us. Now, this is chapter 16. He's talking about Israel and how He came upon them, how He loved them. And He says here, and I want you to notice, He said in verse number 6, we'll just begin reading verse number 6 here, and it says this, "And when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. I have caused thee to multiply as the blood of the field, and thou hast increased and waxen great, and thou art come to excellent ornaments. Thy breasts are fashioned, thine hair is grown, whereas thou wast naked and bare." He said, this is what I've done for you. You've grown, you've matured, you've multiplied. "Now when I passed by thee," He said, "and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love." He said, man, these people need some love. "And I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine." Do you remember the day you were born again? Do you remember it? You know, when that day happened, you stopped belonging to you. You became His. Not yours. His. His. And man, He's been good to you. Look what it says here. He says, "Then washed I thee with water. Yea, I thoroughly washed away thy blood from thee. And I anointed thee with oil." Man, that's not a picture of salvation. Having my sins washed away and having the Holy Spirit of God come and live within me. "I clothed thee also with broidered work and shod thee with badger skin, and I girded thee with fine linen, and I covered thee with silk." Man, He said, I made sure that you were covered, that you had everything you need. That's the grace of God, that provision of God. He said, "I decked thee also with ornaments and bracelets upon thy hands and chain on thy neck, and I put a jewel on thy forehead and earrings in thine ears and a beautiful crown upon thine head. Thus wast thou decked with gold and silver, and thy raiment was of fine linen and silk and broidered work." Not just the cheap stuff. This wasn't just stuff you bought off the rack at Walmart. This is stuff that had the weaving in it and all kinds of special stuff, He said. "And thou didst eat fine flour and honey and oil, and thou wast exceeding beautiful, and thou didst prosper into a kingdom." That's pretty good, isn't it? Doesn't that sound good? Man, that's great. He says, "And thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty. For it was perfect through my comeliness, which I had put upon thee, saith the Lord God of hosts." Saith the Lord God. You know, God put righteousness upon me. I don't have my own righteousness. He put His righteousness upon me. That's the only beauty. If there's anything good in me, it's because of what God has done. That's the only good. If you see a good thing about me, it's something God has done in my life. If you don't, well, I'll pray that I'd be better looking than God. Verse 15, "But thou didst trust," what? "In thine own beauty, and playest a harlot because of thy renown." You thought you could get away with it because God had been so good to you. "And pourest out thy fornications on everyone that passed by his," it was. "And of thy garments thou dost take, and deckest thy high places with diverse colors, and playest a harlot thereupon. The likes of things shall not come, neither shall it be so. Thou hast also taken thy fair jewels of my gold and my silver, which I have given thee, and made to thyself images of men, and did commit whoredom with them. And tookest thy broidered garments and coveredst them. And thou set mine oil and mine incense before them." That was supposed to be for God and God alone, that incense.
And he said, and you set it before these others. And took us, he said, my meat also which I gave thee, fine flour and oil and honey wherewith I fed thee. Thou hast even set it before them for a sweet savor. And thus it was, saith the Lord God. What's he saying? Their meat was their passions. They had passions for meat. All the good things God did for them and gave them. And then if it wasn't enough, the silver and the gold, wasting the money on things that dishonor God. It wasn't enough that they were panting in their heart, wanting to be like the world. That's what it was whenever they told Solomon, we want a king like all the other nations. That was a sin against God. God was their king. And they asked what they said, they want to be like the world. You know, they're Christians today. They want to be like the world. They want to say Jesus is their Savior. They want to say God is their King. But really, they live for themselves and they will not obey the will of God. Why? Because passions are their meat. And if that wasn't enough, he said, you took the meat I gave you. The fine flour. The bread of the Word of God, mingled with oil, taught to you by the Holy Spirit, and honey, that sweet fellowship of Christ. You took that, he said. He said, thou set it before them for a sweet savor. There are too many Christians today, folks, who are taking the Word of God, and as Paul said, resting it, resting the Scriptures to their own destruction. Trying to make the Word of God say what they want it to say instead of just obeying what it says. It's too much of that. It's too much of that, folks. We've got to get to a place where the Word of God, doing the will of God, is our meat. We aren't filling our meat, we aren't filling our bellies with tears. We aren't filling our lives with bitterness. We aren't filling ourselves with the passions except the passion for Christ. My meat is the will of God. My meat this morning? Or am I eating at another table? Somebody else come and fed you? Is somebody else feeding you? Is that why it's hard for you to be faithful to God? Is that why it's hard to be faithful to this house? Is that why it's hard? Because you're feasting somewhere else instead of on the will of God? My meat. Folks, it's serious. You know, Jesus is coming soon. How do you want Him to find you? Is God's will my meat? The book of Psalms 40, verse 8 says, I delight to do Thy will, O my God. Yea, Thy law is within my heart. Do you delight to do the will of God? If not, folks, you need to get to the altar today. Something's wrong. If it's not your meat to do the will of God. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. It's like ignoring a flat tire. Pretty soon all you're going to have is a rim. Secondly, ask ourselves this question. Look at the book, Gospel of John, chapter number 6. Gospel of John, chapter number 6. Look here, he says, in verse number 35, he says, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Think about that for a minute, just a minute, folks. He said, I said that to you, but you don't believe. You believe not. He said, all the Father given me shall come to me. Have you come to Christ? Or have you just heard and you don't believe it? Notice what he says. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Second question we want to ask ourselves about the will of God. Is God's will my meditation? Is God's will my meditation? Psalms 1. Let's look at that for just a moment. As we ask ourselves this question, is God's will my meditation? He says here, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. You're not looking to Dr. Phil to give you all the answers. Oh, that's my phone. Now that's really weird. I'll have to turn that off. Somebody called me in the middle of preaching, but that's all right. God bless them anyway. I'll get a hold of them after. I put it down to zero. I got to start reading the sign here. Anyway, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Not listen to Dr. Phil or any of that. Nor standeth in the way of sinners. He doesn't stand side by side with people who are doing wrong and agree that it's all right for them to do so. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Going along with people, it drives me crazy when I hear people talking and they claim to believe God, they claim to believe His Word, but some unbeliever will talk about how the Bible's missing this, the Bible's missing that, and they'll just sort of listen to it placidly and go on as though it's a possibility that maybe God left something out. I don't serve a God like that. God didn't leave nothing out of here. That's insane. And you'd be crazy to believe in a God who did. God is who He is. Everything He says here is true and right and good and accurate. You know, there's been places in where the archaeologists go through and they find these names of people, and they said the people didn't exist. And they go through and they dig a little digger and find out the people in the Bible did exist. And not only that, the Bible spelled their names right. They didn't know how to spell the name. They found all these wrong spellings. Found out the Bible has all the names spelled right. You know why? Because those names were written in God's book of life when they were born. God knows how to spell the names. He's the one who made them. Nothing surprises God. He doesn't listen to that. Not sitting to see the scornful. Is God's will my meditation? Or am I thinking about accommodating everybody? I'm not here to accommodate everybody. I'm not. I'm not trying to be mean to anybody, but I'm not going to not tell them the truth just because I don't think they'll like it. I'm not going to not do what's right just because they might get upset. Oh, I'm never going to let church, those people. Well, you know, they're hurting themselves. Honestly. You ever looked at somebody and said, do I have something in my teeth? You ever done that? Now let me ask you a question. Do you want them to lie and say no so you don't feel like you've been an idiot walking around with that in your teeth for so long? Or do you want them to tell you the truth so you can get it taken care of? But for some reason, that works with food in your teeth, but not with your life walking in the will of God. Why is that? Now, I'm not going to stop doing what's right, and I'm not going to stop saying what's right and doing what's right, but I feel badly for people because all I'm trying to do is help them. And they're getting mad because I'm telling them they got food in their teeth. Folks, is the will of God our meditation? He says in verse number 2, but his delight, is in the law of the Lord. You know, when we came in here, I said, anybody excited about being here today? A few people said, amen. I should have been, yeah, amen, glory to God, I'm glad to be here. That would have been some excitement about that. That would be when the singing's going on, that would be some excitement about the singing. You ought to be singing your hearts out to God. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in His law doth He meditate day and night. I remember when God dealt with me about the music I listened to, about the way I talked, about the things I did, I remember that. It's precious to me. It's precious to me. It's precious to me every day when God speaks to my heart and tells me how wrong I've been. That's precious. How can you not get excited about a God who will meet with you and talk to you every day? It's God's will. My meditation. In His law did they meditate day and night. Notice what it says. And He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth His fruit in His season. Sister, I'll tell you why it took so long for your husband to get in. For one thing, God is dealing with his heart. For another thing, God is trying to build a testimony in your life. For others to see that indeed, though it be years, it is not beyond the scope of God. That's why God does those things. Brings forth His fruit. When? Today? Tomorrow? In a season. Everything produces at different times. I got gooseberries on my bush. The raspberries aren't formed yet. The gooseberries are almost ready to pick. Why? Because they're different plants. Hey, every one of us, God will produce fruit in our season if we'll just make His meat, His will, our meat, and our meditation. Be patient. He tells us the husbandman, he has long patience for the fruit. He knows he's going to plant it today and not going to see any fruit from it for a while, and so he waits with it. Is he anxious for it? Yes. But he knows it's coming. Folks, that's what faith in God is. God said it's coming. Just be faithful. Be faithful. He says His leaf also shall not wither. What are the leaves for? They gather the sunlight for a process called photosynthesis. And that's how all that sugary sap gets turned into food for that tree to live on. The leaves are out. And when it's ready to rain, what do? They turn. Are your leaves out, folks? Are you waiting for the rain? Are you allowing the dew of heaven to get into you? To produce some fruit to keep your leaves from withering? And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now let me tell you something about that. You know, the Bible tells me this, that there are some things that you lay up in heaven. And I might not see them prosper here. I may not see them until I get there. You know, give somebody the gospel, there's somebody. Not too long ago, he told him that I had stopped and helped him change a tire. And I gave him the gospel. He didn't get saved that day. But he got saved later. Hey, it prospered. Just not right there in front of my eyes. And he was thankful. And when Miss Robin went over and talked with him, he said, I remember that guy. He gave me some verses. And he put the verses on the back of his business card that God used to deal with his heart about being saved. I didn't get to lead him to the Lord. But I got to plant the seed. And I got to see it prosper. Folks, if God's will is your meditation and your meat, it's going to prosper. The Word of God does not return void. It accomplishes the purpose He sent it to do. He said this, the ungodly are not so. It just don't go that way for people who don't honor God. You say, well, I've been saved. Doesn't seem like nothing. Are you honoring God? Is His will your meat and your meditation? He said, they're like the chaff which the wind drives away. First wind comes along, they just scoot along the road, on down the road to the direction of the wind. Maybe the reason you have trouble standing up for Christ is because you don't have any life in Christ. You're not planted on the tree. You're chaff in the wind. He said here, Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. That means they're not going to make it through the judgment. They're going to be found guilty. Nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. They aren't going to make it. They've not been born again. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. I'm so glad He knows where I'm going. He knows every step I'm going to take, and He knows everything I'm going to meet, and He's already seen it and already provided for what I need. For the way of the unrighteous shall perish. Is God's will my meditation? Then thirdly, the last question we'll ask this morning about the will of God. John chapter 6 again. Gospel of John 6. Jesus is continuing to speak. We read verse 38. He said, I came down from heaven not to do my own will. Now notice that. I want you to look at that phrase for just a second. For I came down from heaven. Now if you want any more, I don't think you could ask for any more direct statement from Jesus Christ to the fact of His divine being and the fact that He said, I came down from heaven. Not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Is the will of God my message in my life today? Is it my message? What is the will of God? That everyone would see the Son. Have you shown anyone Jesus lately? Everyone would see the Son and believeth on Him. Have you invited them to come and put their faith and trust in Christ? May have everlasting life. And I'll raise him up at the last day. I'm excited. I'm so glad. It doesn't matter if I drop dead right now. Like Job, I know that I'll see him with my eyes. I'm going to be raised up. I'm not going to be cast down. Is the will of God my message? The will of God isn't my message. God is not willing that any should perish. But how many should come to repentance? All. That's His will, is it not, for lost folk? Is God's will my message? Let's turn to the book of Philippians, chapter number 2, for just a moment. And I'd like to read this, just these few verses here, and think about this. I love this because it gives me a glimpse into the heart of my Savior, who loved me and gave Himself for me. He said here in verse number 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What mind is it that I should have? How should I be thinking? Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now other verses say in there, They change those words around to make it sound like God, like Jesus wasn't trying to put himself off as God. It's not what it says. He thought it not robbery. The other verses, like the NIV, say he thought it being God was nothing to be striven for. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. What does that mean? Suppose we all went to the Capitol building in Washington, D.C. And it was the day the president was going to give the State of the Union address. And they had that podium there waiting for him to step up to give his speech like he always does. And everybody was assembled and we were all sitting there. And they said, you know, ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States. And he started to walk up there. And just as he walked up, I came up and said, get out of the way. I'm going to give the State of the Union speech today. I'm just as good as you are. I'm going to get it.
What would I be doing? I'd be robbing him. I'd be saying, I'm the same. I'm just the same as the President of the United States. I got just as much right to give this speech as he does. No, I don't. He's elected that office. I was not. Understand.
What God's saying here is that Jesus, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal God. In other words, he said, talking about me and talking about the God of creation is the same thing. Because that's who I am. That's what that verse means. That's what that says. That's why you don't want to read those other verses. They don't say it this way. They imply other things. He said in verse 7, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. He deserved the praise and adulation of every person on earth when everywhere he went. But he made himself of no reputation. His Bible said there was no form or comeliness in him that we should desire him. You wouldn't have been able to pick him out from anybody in the crowd. He just looked like a regular guy. But he made himself. He humbled himself. Is God's will my message? He took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Do we do that? Have we humbled ourselves and considered that we are like everyone else? And being found in the fashion as a man, it says that he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death of the cross. He gave his life. He gave it. No one took it from him, he said. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. In the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Folks, I don't care who they are. I don't care what they say they know. I don't care what kind of things they say. I don't care who they are, whatever they're saying about God or the Bible isn't true or anything, that doesn't matter. One day they are going to stand before God and they are going to bow their knee and they are going to confess, Jesus, you are Lord. Every single tongue. Now some people won't be any problem. Others, going to be the most absolutely dejecting and humiliating thing in their existence. The most horrific thing when they know that they had lived a life denying the Lord, and that day they stand before Him and they bow their knee and they confess that Jesus is Lord, and they remember all the times that some Christian had told them Jesus was Lord. Why? Because the will of God was their message. And they realize that all that awaits them is that open, gaping lake of fire. Why? Because some Christian told them, because the will of God was their message. Is the will of God your message this morning? You know, I know it's hard. So you ever looked at someone and said, they're always just being all nicey nice and trying to be all sweet and kind. You ever looked at somebody who said that? You ever looked at yourself when you're saying that? Isn't that the way you're supposed to be? Why do we do it? Because we want to try to make ourselves feel better, because the will of God has not been our meat. And our meditation and our message. And when we see somebody who it is, it makes us feel bad. Because we're guilty. How about you this morning? Let's stand to our feet and bow our heads for just a few minutes this morning.